Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and later on in the show, Jim, we are going to review the new album by The Feelies. Now, this is a band that takes its time between albums. It's their first in 6 years.
Only six albums, Greg, in 40 years. That's later in the show. But first, Gene Shandler, the Duke of Earl.
As I walk through this world, nothing can stop the Duke of Earl.
Obviously, that is the single Duke of Earl, recorded by Gene Shandler in 1961. It was a million seller. It was a top hit. One of the best known songs of that era. I think one of the best pop or rock songs ever. But Gene did much more than that tune. He went on to record a dozen albums and over 100 singles, as well as becoming a producer.
Yeah, Jim, he came out of the tradition of doo-wop in Chicago that included groups like the Flamingos and the Spaniels. And he worked closely with a number of Chicago soul legends, including Curtis Mayfield and Jerry Butler. Later on in his career, as you mentioned, he went on to produce other artists. So we started our conversation asking Gene about when he knew music was going to be his life.
When you're a youngster, you have a whole bunch of things in your head you want to do, and you know
everything.
Yeah, And it ends up being something maybe you thought you were going to be, but you didn't. But in any event, high school is where I guess I found the talent. I got with a group in high school. A group called the Gaytones, and do you remember McKee Fitzhugh, a DJ?
I remember the name.
He was on WGES.
Yeah.
Okay, and he gave a citywide contest from the high schools. The high school had their private amateur show, and whoever won that amateur show represented that school against all the other high schools. And finally, when they gathered everybody and all the contests were over with, they had the big show. I can never forget that for a lot of reasons. One, I had an abscess.
Ooh.
My jaw was swollen.
Yeah. And you got to sing.
I got to sing. Mm. And all these people from all over the city of Chicago was there to see this final contest because they came from the different schools. The place was packed.
Yeah.
And we had to take pictures, so of course I took it on the other side.
Not to see the swelling.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. The guy said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sing. Mm. I'm not going to miss this. To make a long story short, the Gaytones won the contest.
All right.
From Inglewood High School.
My darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool, awful in love with you.
We actually were doing some school illegal things, like singing in the hallway when we should have been in class.
Oh, they got the great acoustics with the lockers. And
tell
the,
me about it, you know, or in the bathroom,
yeah, the bathroom.
Acoustics or what have you. But we had other people cutting class just to hear us. But the Gaytones, we used to have to run from the assistant principal because he was, you know, chasing us out of hall. After a while, he would say, I saw you. Well, he couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
We were denying it, of course. Yeah. So then he started wearing a camera around his neck.
Now, see, if he was still around, those pictures would be worth something today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, I need you so. I'll never let you go. I love you so. Oh, baby.
Now, when all of this occurred, in my neighborhood in Inglewood, there was a group there called the Duques.
Mm-hmm.
And the Duques was jealous because they needed a lead singer.
Mm.
And they said, you live in this neighborhood. Those guys live at all these other places. So finally, I joined the Duques. I left the Gaytons and went with the Duques in the neighborhood. I had to face them every day.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah. It worked out, of course.
It worked out.
Now, this was a great era in Chicago music. The vocal groups were ascendant in the 50s. Mm-hmm. There was a number of labels putting out this kind of music, locally based labels.
It's all the doo-wops.
VJ and Chess and things like that. How did you sort of see yourself fitting into this? I mean, was getting the recording contract and getting that record out and being played on the radio, was that the ambition all along?
What happened is the Duques, the neighborhood group I joined, we began to sing in a lot of clubs, and sometimes we had 3 gigs a night. Mm. We'd run to this social club because they had their party and run to this one. We wasn't making a lot of money, maybe $10, $15 a piece from each one of the places, and it added up. And all the guys worked, so that was some extra money on the weekend.
Yeah,
I left the group and went to the service. They promised to hold my spot. And 3 years later, about 3 months before I was coming home, they had gotten a recording contract. Mm. And they wanted the people that owned the record company, a guy by the name of Mr. Carl Davis and Bill Shepard. Mm-hmm. They owned the company, and they said they didn't want to wait because they picked the group for the lead singer that they had with them at the time. Finally, they convinced them to wait. And of course, I came home and I sung. I was actually coming home to be a single. While I was in the service, I went around to a lot of officers' clubs. I was in special service and I sung for these. And I said, God, I like this.
I don't have to split the $15.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. I don't have to split any money. But when I came home, they had a recording contract. Mm-hmm. I sung for Carl and Bill. And they fell in love with me, and so I ended up back with the group. And that's when we went in the studio, recorded our first record called The Girl is the Devil. She's trying to make a monkey out of me. But I love her so.
Okay. A lot of commas, and then, and by the way.
Yeah. Just so to be clear.
This is 1961. You're in the recording studio.
Yes.
And then your biggest hit comes soon after.
Well, after that first session,
mm-hmm.
The next recording session is where we recorded a song called Night Owl. Song called The Duke of Earl.
And you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh no, yes, I.
The guy who had the first right of refusal to take our records around the country, he loved Night Owl, and he turned down the Duke. Mm. So VJ Records had given some money for the publishing on Night Owl. They wanted to hear it, and in the process, they said, well, what else did you record? And that's when Calvin Carter, the A&R director, he was Vivian Carter's brother. Vivian was the V in the VJ.
In VJ, yes.
Right, and Jimmy was the J, her husband. But her brother, Calvin Carter, was the A&R director for VJ Records. He heard the song, and he said, well, who has that? He said, well, can we buy it? And he said, yeah, but it's the same lead singer, and he's with the Duques signed up. Okay. We straightened all of that out. They gave me a choice of staying with the group, or they were going to put somebody with the Duke. Mm. Since I wrote The Duke of Earl, I decided now is my chance to go as a single.
Right.
And the group was kind of upset. But I thought it was the best thing to do, and as time went by, here I am today. It was the best thing. But Calvin called to Europe, to Abner, who was running the VJ Records, Hewitt Abner was his name. He was the president. And asked him about buying this song, Duke of Earl. He said, if you call me all the way to Europe to buy a song, just go on and buy it. he happened to be over there getting the deal for the first Beatle records.
Right, BJ Records.
Yeah, he was with Brian Epstein, and he made the first deal for America for the Beatle records.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words.
Abner was really smart. He kind of waited and let Capitol do all of the big promotion and everything. And once the Beatles took off, they were buying anything was the Beatles.
So right. Abner including VJ, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Abner stopped putting his records out, and that's when they became big. And of course, you know, VJ was also the first company to record the Four Seasons.
Right.
And it was the first black company to have a white artist on a black label. But you know the success of the Four Seasons.
Right.
Okay, so
huge.
Everything took off for them.
There are not many songs in the history of popular music that are more well-known by everybody, all right? An interesting question when you're talking to someone who wrote a song like that, whether it's Kurt Cobain and Smells Like Teen Spirit or you and Duke of Earl, did you know? You know, when you put the pen down to paper after you'd sketch this out or whatever, did you know that this was a song?
Yes, sir.
Well, I must say that we thought it was, but we knew nothing about a million seller.
Mm-hmm.
We put it together in my home, which was about maybe four blocks from our manager. My mother came out from the kitchen and say, when did you all put that together? She said, just nice. She said, that sounds good.
Mm.
And we felt good about it. Mm. Actually, it wasn't Duke. It was Doo, D-O. But I said, that's kind of silly to have a song saying do, 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 do. And I don't know where it came from, but I just said, let's say Duke.
Yeah.
I guess from watching movies of England and all that kind of thing. And it was a guy in the group, his name was Earl. And so we said Duke of Earl. Well, actually, there's not really a Duke of Earl. It is not because I made it.
Yeah, right. But you were a Duke or an Earl.
Yes, it's an Earl or a Duke.
Right.
Earl of something or a Duke of something.
Yeah.
In any event, we ran around the house and said, we got a million sellers. She said, all right, let me hear it. Because she wrote all our songs for us. And after we sung it about three times for us, she said, Gene, don't get mad at me, but I'd like to change one line in there. I don't know what she took out. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But the line she put in, we will walk through my dukedom, and paradise we will share.
Paradise we will share. Yes,
That's a good line.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
What I love is the way that song took off. I mean, it's had a life through decades. I mean, people have sampled that song. You know, Cypress Hill, groups like that. How do you feel about the way your music has been appropriated by the hip-hop generation?
I feel it's a great thing. I made more money.
Yeah. So they gave you licensing and publishing.
Well,
and all that
you can't damage the Duke of Earl. Yeah. It's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Because in the hip-hop generation, they asked me to come back and do the Duke of Earl with some rap in it.
Mm.
I told them no.
So you're a national act at that point. You went from a kid that people knew in Chicago, maybe, to this national thing.
Correct.
And what was that like at a very young age? What was that like for you?
Well, actually, I could have capitalized on it much more if I had known what I know today. It was like shocking to me. All of a sudden, I was in demand around the country, and I'm flying here. I remember going to make the movie Don't Knock the Twist. The night before, most of the acts, Chubby Checker, Dee Dee Sharp, the Dovells, and myself, we did a performance at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And it was the next day we flew to do the movie in Los Angeles.
Mm.
but there were like maybe 30, 40 different people out there with the entire Duke of Earl outfit on.
Wow.
Because I remember when the limo pulled up, I heard the guy say on the gate, "Now the real Duke is coming now," and they started rushing it. But they had these top hats and capes on.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that that was such a fabulous thing. I was just excited because people wanted to dress up like myself.
So just to clarify, Gene, in the 1962 film called Don't Knock the Twist, you wore the same costume you wore on the Duke of Earl album cover with that cape, that top hat, that monocle. That outfit has since gone down in rock and roll history. And, Gene, I was really hoping you were going
to
wear that outfit today.
So you wanted
today.
People to start rushing me and throwing me down like they do the clowns.
No. That wouldn't have been right.
Top hat, cape, and
cane.
We'll get you some security.
Well, you know, actually, that's not the way they wanted me to have the cover of that album.
Hmm.
They had me in the studio dressed up like a Minuteman. You know how the Minuteman had the triangle hats on?
Yeah.
And the tight stocking legs coming up in England.
What's the connection there? I don't get
blouse.
It.
They even tried to put one of those wigs on me, the gray wig.
The powdered wig?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I was leery of it. But when I saw the negative, I said, no. I want to be a modern dude. Actually, I took the negative from it.
Yeah.
The only one that they really had. And I still have it today.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. But do you have the monocle and the cape?
Yeah, I have the same original cape that I started with.
Mm-hmm.
Top hats have changed,
and
I let go of the monocle because I couldn't perform well on stage trying to squint my eye and hold the monocle.
I've never understood why anybody would have a monocle,
Right, because you had to squint it in, you know, between the top here and down here. And I just
It's worse than having an abscess.
No, that's got to go. I ended up with the top hat, the cane, and the cape. And put it over any kind of outfit because I had other songs to sing.
I think after James Brown's cape and Screamin' Jay Hawkins, cape, that's like the most famous cape in the history of all of music.
Well, actually, that was the first cape worn out there.
Yeah,
even before James Brown put the little short cape in his act.
Yeah.
Because I had the long cape, the ones that they have in England.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have the original cape.
One more time to test the wheel.
After a short break, Gene Chandler tells us about working with Curtis Mayfield and about his transition into producing other artists. Later, we're going to review the new record by the New Jersey rockers, The Feelies. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Don't leave me alone. She's going to ruin my happy home with a man's temptation.